With parents of Newtown shooting victims and children who'd written letters to him after Newtown nearby, President Obama today laid out the most comprehensive federal regulations on guns since 1968, starting by citing some of those letters from kids.
And then Julia said, Julia, where are you? There you go. I'm not scared for my safety, I'm scared for others. I have four brothers and sisters, and I know I would not be able to bear the thought of losing any of them.
The president wants Congress to reinstate a ban on certain guns, to have background checks on all gun sales, ban high-capacity ammunition magazines. He wants to use 23 executive orders to do things like clarify that doctors can ask about guns in the home and can report threatening patients. Let's start with details. Carrie Budoff-Brown is White House reporter for Politico. Carrie, hello.
Hi.
So first, we just want to have a reminder, because language is important. Automatic guns that fire repeatedly with run trigger pull, you know, machine guns, are already heavily regulated. Almost all the language is about the guns that are really sold in the U.S. now. Semi-automatic rifles and pistols, they fire once per trigger pull but are automatically loaded and can be modified to be more militarized. What is the White House proposal saying?
Well, opening a couple of fronts here, at this point, sort of the big thing that, the first thing that's highlighted in the materials they put out today are background checks, closing those loopholes that they believe allow about 40% of all gun sales done through private sellers are exempt from background checks. And they're looking to close that loophole that they think will help prevent guns from getting into the wrong hands.
Okay, let's stay there for just a second, because just to remind people, gun dealers shows and in their shops have to do these background checks. But as you said, the private sales don't. And so there's language encouraging these people to do their private sales through gun dealers, but it would require everyone to do the background checks.
Yes, and then the idea is to strengthen the system. Make sure that background checks are being able to make them on the spot, do a better job to make sure that the information in the system is complete. This is something that people have been, that Democrats have really been trying to do for many years. I think from the White House's perspective, they view this as a pretty doable initiative, though it will face, I think, resistance as well as many of these other things that the president's proposing.
Some of the points in strengthening it, we'll stay with background checks for a second. They want to address unnecessary legal barriers that prevent states from reporting information about those prohibited from having guns, so that there's more information sharing in the gun and background check system. We heard when Joe Biden spoke last week, the vice president, he said one of the big problems was a huge backlog of getting names into the federal database.
Yes, and that's This is generally the problem with creating these kind of databases, whether it's checking the status of immigrants or anything else, is getting, you just need to have a system that works. Otherwise, the whole process breaks down unless it's complete and it's thorough and it's up to date. So that is a challenge.
So let's get to the kinds of weapons that can be sold. As we said, it's largely concentrating on semi-automatic weapons, and the White House pointing out in its release that the shooters in both Aurora, Colorado, and Newtown, Connecticut, had semi-automatics that would have been banned under the old lapsed federal ban. We know in the Connecticut case, the gun would have been legal under the Connecticut law. So it's all over the place. And the White House points out manufacturers were able to circumvent the old federal ban by modifying guns. So how does the new proposal address any of this?
I mean, it doesn't get into that kind of specifics at this point. These are issues that Congress, if it gets to this point, would try to define further. But at the bottom line, though, is that there are elements that were part of the assault weapons ban, the semi-automatic ban on semi-automatic weapons that was in effect from 1994 to 2004. There's elements of that, such as high-capacity ammunition magazines. If those were prohibited under that ban, they want to reinstate that. How you define an assault weapon will be something, I think, that would be come under debate,
right,
and intense debate, because, like you said, there's ways to get around it,
right,
and you don't want to make it too broad, because you'll cover you will get to a point where the too many weapons, I mean, too many guns are banned
included
under it. And you don't want to do that either. So there's a certain level of sensitivity to that. But you know, this is the assault weapons ban, or the ban on military-style assault weapons.
Weapons that can be militarized, in other words,
exactly.
They can be modified. But let's move on to the ammunition, because the White House is very clear here. They want to ban these high-capacity magazines. In other words, you could have 33 bullets in one.
Mm-hmm.
They want to limit it to 10. And they also want to get armor-piercing bullets off the street.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think both, again, in addition to the background checks, it seems like this is the other element, the high-capacity magazines may stand a decent chance of getting through Congress, because the president and people who are in favor of this can appeal to that notion that do you need more than 10 rounds? And I think we're going to get a lot of pushback from the NRA saying there is legitimate reason to have more than 10 rounds in a magazine. So there are, could be the subject of negotiation and, you know, certainly intense debate in Congress.
Well, just tick off some of the other things that you're seeing. There's both executive action and things he wants Congress to do. Just, if you would, a little laundry list.
Sure. Just the two other major elements of what he proposed today. One is making schools safer. And I think this is a nod to what we're hearing from the NRA, that there's this, you can improve the sort of protection that's in schools. They're not saying, give every school police officer a weapon to protect the school, but they're talking about, you know, if schools want to use federal resources to hire more school resource officers, they can do that.
In fact, we have the president, just for one second, we have the president talking about that. Let's listen.
We will help schools hire more resource officers if they want them and develop emergency preparedness plans. We will make sure mental health professionals know their options for reporting threats of violence, even as we acknowledge that someone with a mental illness is far more likely to be a victim of violent crime than the perpetrator.
Carrie Budoff-Brown, we're going to pick up on both those issues in just a couple of minutes. But I just, you know, some of the other things the president listing, he wants to stop so-called straw man purchases. Someone buys a gun for a criminal or a gang member. We're understanding that a lot of what is in this initiative is more about the thousands of people who are killed every day in violent criminal acts than those, you know, perhaps killed in the mass shooting. In other words, he's trying to throw a wider net.
Yes, and I mean, I think you make a good point that, it's been reported that in the Connecticut shooting that those guns were obtained legally. And so critics of tightening these laws would say, well, there was nothing really that would have, in terms of gun laws, would have prevented him from getting those guns. You have to address the mental health aspect of it. And of course, they're trying to do that here in the school aspect of it, protection there. But I think a lot of people, I think observers will look at this and at least the school part, the mental health part, and wonder sort of what really is being strengthened here. I think the health care law that was passed 2 years ago may do more to improve mental health services than anything we'll see as part of this initiative.
Right. We are going to talk about that. The president alluding to things that are already in the health care reform. Carrie Budoff-Brown, White House reporter for Politico. Thanks so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
So, what are the chances of any of this passing? When Congress passed the assault weapons ban in 1994, the House vote split 216 to 214. This time, no senior House Republican has spoken out in favor of any new gun control measures. There's a sheriff, Tim Mueller, of Linn County, Oregon, who's joined other public officials saying he won't enforce anything. And the NRA went on the offensive with a new ad today. Now, we heard the president saying he wanted to provide schools with more police resources. Here's the NRA drawing the president's daughters into the debate because they get Secret Service protection.
Are the president's kids more important than yours? Then why is he skeptical about putting armed security in our schools when his kids are protected by armed guards at their school? Mr. Obama demands the wealthy pay their fair share of taxes, but he's just another elitist hypocrite when it comes to a fair share of security. Protection for their kids and gun-free zones for ours.
Rick Klein, senior Washington editor for ABC World News and co-host of that network's political webcast, Top Line, joins us now. Rick, this is stirring up a lot of controversy.
It sure is, and the White House actually calling it repugnant to bring the president's daughters into this. Now, the NRA and some of its supporters say, well, it's the president who's surrounding himself with children today And so the NRA responding in kind, but you know, I think both sides maybe better advised to leave the kids out of this and engage in the debate. But yes, the idea of bringing the president's own children into the debate makes it highly personal, and it's just one slice at how seriously the other side is taking this and how engaged the NRA and its members and its allies are in this fight.
Well, but it also may be wrong. We don't quite know. We heard the president say he would help schools fortify and have more resources like police, but he didn't mention guns specifically, so we don't really know what he's talking about. But tell us more what you see politically going on here. Politico sees a three-part division. One camp in the gun control community wants a complete win. They want everything, including weapons ban. Another worries that a weapons ban could derail everything else. A third wants to use the weapons ban as a bargaining chip. And some are saying this administration should have learned from the health care debate. They started so low, you know, instead of starting with, single payer, they started so low that they ended up essentially with Mitt Romney's health care plan. They should start higher. What is your sense of this? Is the weapons ban in there just to be negotiated out?
I think they're serious about the weapons ban, but they also they have to be careful about how they play this, because if you ask for everything, it's actually going to be easier to block everything if you try one huge piece of legislation as opposed to separate moving pieces. So the indication from the White House that they plan to pursue this on multiple tracks, there's some things that, like mental health checks, that in expanding mental health checks to make sure that the mentally ill don't have access to guns, you'll get almost unanimous support for things like that. But when you talk about almost anything involving guns themselves, whether it's ammunition, whether it's universal background checks, the gun show loophole, or whether it's the assault weapons ban itself, you're going to have so far lockstep opposition from the NRA and its allies, even a lot of Democrats who are very skeptical. And their plan is just to stop anything that says gun control in any way. So it has to be a dance that they play here. They can't overplay the hand or they'll be left with nothing. But this is a very, very significant announcement, by some measure more at play here than any time since the 1960s assassinations.
Well, you just said that everybody's in lockstep on how the mentally ill might be treated under these provisions. Not everyone is, because there's concerns as to how that information might be gotten. We're going to talk about that in a second. But what about the population? The new AP poll shows 60% of Americans want stricter gun laws. Does that matter?
Of course it matters. I think any poll matters. And I think when you get into the specifics, assault weapons ban in a poll that we had with Washington Post earlier this week at ABC, slightly under 60%, but close to above 80%, I believe, on the question of universal background checks. That seems like a no-brainer to so many people. But again, the gun lobby has handled this traditionally as any erosion of gun rights in any way has to be fought with all of their strength. And they've given no indication of handling this differently. And we still haven't seen any Republicans begin to break ranks.
Rick Klein, senior Washington editor for ABC World News, co-host of the network's political webcast Top Line, as the White House outlines its call for gun control. We'll be talking to a mental health professional in just 1 minute. Rick, thanks so much.
Thank you.
So the president's executive orders might include sending a letter to mental health providers telling them federal law doesn't prohibit them from reporting threats of violence to law enforcement. He also wants Congress to strengthen the background check system. Some 17 states haven't made their mental health records available. Well, up next, a therapist who worries that they might in 1 minute here now.